this.
Blog Talk Loud. Radio.
I have returned. The zombie master has returned from his sabbatical. I am here to raise some hell.
As well as
Raider D!
Okay.
I'm excited. Sorry.
Hold on. Raider Dave, you know what you are or not?
What?
I am a moron!
Oh, fuck you. You're a dickhead.
I mean, your dick got shit.
I'm trying to be nice and shit. You're coming. Fuck you and your white guy.
Hi, welcome to Chili's.
Go break some furniture. Bring Brian back.
Who the fuck is Brian?
Brian, I said.
No, you said Brian.
I met Ryan.
Yeah, I heard my friend Brian.
All right, fuck you. I've been off for 2 weeks. Give me a break.
My emotions! My emotions!
I didn't do it. Do it, Ryan told me I couldn't do it. I didn't do it.
Okay there, Raider Dave.
You told me I couldn't do it. I didn't do it. I'm proud of myself. I showed restraint. You guys should be proud of me.
You never show restraint. What the fuck are you talking about? You have as much as restraint as Joanna and Ivana when it comes to seeing a guy.
I'm trying to be a better version of my, you know what, fuck this. You were off for 2 weeks, yeah, you were off for Kiko, bitch!
Don't make me get her. She's right in the other room, I'll go get her.
Hey, first off, you
have
her.
Get her, maybe she'll scare him off.
Are you a pervert, sir?
What'd
you say?
Can you have her in the other room? Are you a pervert?
No, she has to be locked in her cage, you know this, and everybody knows this.
Not new news. Where the fuck you been?
It is almost 2024, sir.
And what's your point?
I'm not making... No! No, I know where you're going with this, Dave, and it's not happening. We are not getting... We are not getting...
Go there. Listen,
we are not Matt Rife. We are not getting canceled for this.
What?
Oh, Jesus Christ. No, do not make me get her. Like I said, she's in the cage. She's subdued right now. She's got her cools and her fucking magazines and her stories.
And her scratch-offs.
And her scratch-offs. And we don't need her out of the cage yet.
Come on, get out of the cage. It's a cage.
Well, if she knows it's Dave, she might stay in the cage.
Do you want to break out of the cage?
Why have I heard my name?
Yeah, Joanna. Hey, so, Joanna.
What?
John was wondering what he could buy you for Christmas this year.
Is he asking for a friend? Is that what you want to know, Dave?
No, it's what John wants to know, sir.
I
don't want to know anything that bitch has got to say.
Listen, I highly doubt that, but I could. If you want to try to get something that for me, is get my record expunged for the people, for the five people that I killed.
So technically, there's only one. The other four, they never found the body.
I don't know what you're talking about. I have anonymity.
Master wanting to get in some snack time.
Listen. Once this call is done, I plead the fifth. Avaka.
Oof. Low-hanging fruit, bitch. Even for you.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Talking about fruit that hangs as low as your nasty dick.
Yeah, well, there's nothing hanging low on your raisin, Dave.
Raider Dave.
I
All right, you know what, John? You should go ahead, and I'm going to get this out of the way. You ready? Are you ready?
What?
Are you ready?
What?
I mean.
Huh? Huh?
Rock, do you think he's ready?
What was that?
Huh?
Do you think he's ready?
Huh?
Go.
So I've been thinking. I've been thinking, Ronnie. I've been thinking a lot about the jet.
Oh, no.
And you know what I've come to realize?
They suck?
The Jets are like that girl who seems like perfect. Okay? They have the offense, they have the defense, you know, just a complete package, you know, face, body. And then something sexual starts to happen, and she gets, like, locked jaw while she's going down on you, or dressed while she's giving you a handy.
Hey, you ain't offending me. You will not offend me, not with them. Because I said it the second Aaron Rodgers went down, I said, we're going to suck now. And I was right.
Well, I mean, it's not that. It's like, you remember playing Super Mario Brothers?
I haven't played that in 15 years, but okay, go ahead.
Okay, cool. Okay, so the Jets are like Super Mario. When you have the star power, that's your defense. And it runs out just as you get to a Goomba. Your offense.
We don't have an offense. That's
exactly. That's why.
I've always said that. I said the offense on this side, they haven't scored a touchdown in three or four fucking games.
They're like the Ravens 2001.
They scored on Sunday.
What they fucking do and what? One touchdown in how many games?
They scored. Did they score with Jawan?
The only person that's getting any scoring on that team is fucking kicker.
Listen, you wanna know how many times people have scored with me? My end zone has seen no grass for the last 8 months. It looks like the field when Jimmy Hoffa was buried.
It looks like the field at the end of Apocalypse Now.
Just scorched earth. Yeah, it's about right. It smells like that too.
Undercarriage, for fuck's sake.
I picked the wrong week to quit sniffing glue.
You should have went to Huff and Paint there.
Well, I picked the wrong week to quit taking amphetamines. And if you get that reference, congratulations.
Yeah, I think everybody gets that reference.
That reference was gotten, sir.
Oh, lordy, 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 lordy. Anyway.
Continuing.
Let's get him out of the way so we can get Brian back here.
All right, I said it once. Don't fucking keep going on about it.
let's get him out of here.
You know how to get me out of here.
Get the Nutless Wonder out of here.
How do you feel about you getting your new team there, Raider Dave?
Raider Dave!
That's right. The Las Vegas A's, soon to be the former Oakland Athletics,
Who the fuck are the Oakland Athletics? Never heard of them.
Yeah, well, neither has half the fucking people that used to go to that filled that stadium.
Hey, here's my question. Here's my question.
That green and gold and honey uniform, that's something unique. That's a color combination you never see in sports.
Are they going to bring all the are all the records coming over too?
Yeah.
It's still going to be named after Ricky Henderson because it was technically Ricky Henderson Field.
See, that I don't know. They have not announced that yet.
I highly doubt it. Who the fuck's Ricky Henderson? When did we sign him?
He's an A's Hall of Famer.
A Vegas A's Hall of Famer?
Fuck the Vegas A's. They don't. Until they do something there, I don't call them anything. I don't call them anything.
Technically, though, are we counting them also? Because remember, they were the Philly A's.
Philadelphia A's, yeah.
Like, I'm excited about this brand new baseball team, the Vegas A's.
Yeah.
They might be brand new.
They are brand new, never before seen. Brand new color combinations, everything. What you get when you come to Vegas, daddy.
Are they gonna be silver and black like the Raiders are, like the raisins?
Nope.
This wonderful, beautiful gold honey color, green. You know, just something you've never seen in sports.
It looks like they're keeping the same color scheme.
Yeah, the Vegas A's color scheme.
So what on the back wall are they gonna have? Clap cleats, the Bunny Ranch, or you can eat shrimp for $1.99 on the back wall.
When the fuck has Vegas had that?
Much pro whenever we win our first fucking World Series.
I mean, first time since the Oakland A's did it.
The who?
You heard me.
Never heard.
Yeah. Fair weather.
Hey, lifelong friend. Lifelong Vegas sports.
They're not even technically going to be a team until 2028.
You're definitely not a team until 2028. You get stuck on my fucking passport ball.
I was going to say, suck on what? It's going to be like a crop dust.
Fuck you, I'm getting nudicles.
Raina Dave, if you want to talk about sucking on something that's crop dust, then go right ahead.
I want to talk about your senior prom, you dusty old stank.
Oh, look, I just came.
And Raider Dave's out.
Woo! Thank you, Juana. Now you can go back in your cage. Here's the snake I asked you, promised you. Oh, good. More raw meat for me to suck down. That's right. Get the fuck out of here. She does live in a cage.
It's inhumane, bro.
Inhumane. She lives better than some human. She lives as good as Ugga.
Who?
Ugga.
Huh?
Georgia mascot.
Ugga Dugga?
Yeah, Ugga Dugga. The Ugga Dugga machine.
Can I get an Ugga Bunga?
Ooga
booga.
Atunga bunga?
Ooga booga.
The Atunga mallet that everyone used to buy? So, all right. There is some other news, too, that actually involves the Cardinals.
Yes.
Yesterday you signed a pitcher in... The starting pitcher in Kyle Gibson.
Yeah.
Not a bad pickup for them.
1 year, $12 million.
We also picked up 1 year, $10 million, Lance Lynn.
You got Lance.
Back to the Lou.
Yeah, Lance Lynn.
Wasn't he a Cardinal at one point?
He was a Cardinal early in his career.
Huh. It's not bad. Those are pretty good pickups for you. You're not paying a lot for them, so.
No, I mean Lance Lynn's $10 million for a season. Not terrible. We paid more.
Yeah. Well, your staff has more holes in it than ours does.
You know what else we got?
What?
A World Series ring in 20 years? Last 20 years?
More than you guys have.
Hey, I ain't gonna deny that one.
How many times you guys been to the Big Show in a ring?
Two. How many times have we been there, or how many times have we gotten a ring?
How many times you gotten a ring?
Twice.
50%, two out of four.
That's cute.
Hey, we were there.
Brewers have non-tendered Woodruff.
Well, he's out for the year anyway.
Yeah, they non-tendered him, though, just of his injury.
I forgot what he had, shoulder or Tommy John. I forget what he had.
Tommy John.
Yeah, he's done.
The Yankees have hired Andrew Bailey as their pitching coach. Yankees hire Brad
Osmus.
And
former Detroit manager.
And former Oakland Athletic. And speaking of the Yankees, hello, Christian.
What's going on?
Nothing. Zach Britton just retired.
Well, that's not a shocker.
Good fucking riddance.
Fuck you, good sir. Goodbye.
You working for AOL now?
Goodbye.
Phillies. You got mail, fucker.
Motherfucker.
Yeah, fucking Phillies signed Aaron Nola to 7-year, 172.
Yeah, I'm sure somebody that we used to know is probably breaking furniture right now.
Yamamoto posted for the MLB, so he's got until the end of the beginning of the year.
He's got 45 days to sign, or he goes back to Japan.
It's the cutoff date is January 4th.
Yeah, he'll be signed. I'm predicting he's going to be signed during the meetings or right after the meetings. He's going to be signed by somebody. And Juan Soto will be traded before or after the meetings, or during or after the meetings.
And what did I say? I said the Mets picked up
John Gibbons.
John Gibbons, it just broke that they got him as their bench coach.
Which is not, I mean, the guy managed both, he managed Toronto. Chris, do you remember how many years he was in Toronto?
Who?
John Gibbons as a manager. He was there for a while. But I know he was there for a while, no?
Yeah, let me look. I'll look it up. John Gibbons, right?
Yep. Former Met prospect and catcher for the Mets. He's drafted by the Mets, too.
Let's see. He's the best Mets coach for the Mets.
Yeah. But he used to manage the Blue Jays.
Yeah. 2002 to 2008. And then he managed the Royals. He was hired by the Royals as their bench coach. And then he got a second stint with Toronto from 2013 to 2018. So he was there for a while.
Yeah, so, I mean, for a first-time manager in Mendoza, that's a guy I want there. Guy's got managerial experience.
I guess Willie didn't want to come out of retirement.
You know what? And I still think Willie was still stinging from the way he was treated when he was here the last time.
Why would it matter though? New management.
Yeah, but still, there's still bad blood. I'm sure on his behalf. But whatever, it is what it is. I mean, would I have liked Willie here? Yeah, but I had a feeling it wasn't going to happen. Just like I wish people would shut the fuck up about Ohtani coming here. He's not coming here. Shut the fuck up already. I'm sick and tired of hearing it. Ohtani is not going to be a Met. He's not going to be a Yankee. If anything, he's going back to Anaheim, or he's going to be a fucking Dodger. That's where he's going to end up.
Or a Padre.
No, they ain't paying him. They're trying to unload payroll. They ain't going to sign him.
Yeah, they unload payroll to pick him up.
But he ain't coming to the East Coast, that's for damn sure. So all you Met people out there, I'm a Met fan too. Fuck you, we ain't coming. So shut the fuck up about it already.
Listen to me, my brothers in blue and orange. Shut the fuck up. I'm one of you. Shut the fuck up.
Pretty much.
Judge might be the greatest street preacher ever.
I'm just going to shoot straight. And the only player man that I'll entertain coming here possibly would be Juan Soto. That would be the only one I would entertain. Because I have a, there's a small chance. Christian and I, you and I talked about it. I said, I have a feeling if the Mets really weren't going to get, if the Padres wanted to fleece anybody, now would be the time to do it. Because if you keep him until the deadline, you ain't going to get shit for him at the deadline.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's going to be, you know, especially when you know you're getting a rental for 3 months. But if you try to get him now, they're going to fleece the fuck. The Padres are going to fleece the fuck out of whoever wants him.
Exactly.
They're gonna want at least 7 to 8 guys
for one year. No, they will. No,
no, yes, yes, they will, because they will fleece it. They're gonna fleece
for 1 year. You're not gonna get 7 or 8 guys for 1 year, unless you're talking about like single A prospects.
No, you know what? And you're not gonna get single A prospects for him. You're either gonna get triple A, major league ready. Or double A, about to move up to triple A. That's the only guys you're going to get. And you're going to have to give up some major league talent for him. You're not going to get him for nothing. They're not going to give him up for nothing.
It
ain't happening.
You're getting minor league prospects or 2 major league guys. You ain't getting for 1 year.
I mean, I look at it this way. They're going to want all the Mets top guys. They're going to want at least Gilbert. They're going to want Beatty. They're going to want Alvarez. They're going to want they're going to want a couple of the other kids. I can't remember all the kids' names. They're going to want at least 4 or 5 of them, at least.
That's the that would be the dumbest thing. If you're looking to unload payroll, that is the dumbest thing anyone would ever do.
They're going to want to restock their farm system. That's what they're going to want to redo. They're going to do what the Mets did at the deadline.
But the difference is there's years of control. Soto has 1 year, and then he's done. You're not getting a haulback for 1 year. You're getting a haulback for two years, because then you have an extra year of control.
This is why I said I don't think he's going to get moved during the offseason, because I have a feeling he's going to go at the deadline. And at the deadline, they'll practically give him away, because they realize they're going to lose him. They got to get something. And I think that would be a better move for any team anyways, to snag him at the deadline. Because you're not going to get – that way you know you're not going to have to mortgage the farm for him, because they're going to be like, look, we're going to lose him. We're not re-signing him. We got to get something. So whatever they're going to offer him, they'll take. But if you try to do it now, you're going to get fleeced. You're going to get fleeced. That's why when the Mets got – or no, when the Yankees got Glass Carlo, they didn't have to give up much to get him.
Oh, God.
They could have – the Marlins could have very easily – and, Christian, correct me if I'm wrong. The Yankees could have very easily gotten fleeced by the Marlins big time for him.
No, because no one was taking that contract.
Well.
The reason that the Yankees took Giancarlo was because of they offered to pay 90% of that contract.
But they still could have fleeced him if they really wanted to. I can't name one guy that the Marlins got in trade for him, because none of them are in the fucking majors now, I don't think.
Well, because the Marlins are a shitty run program.
And correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't Jeter running the Marlins then?
That was before Jeter came in.
Nah, it was when he took over.
That's what I'm saying.
When Giancarlo got traded? No.
Yeah,
yes,
was
he was.
That was his first major move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I think, that's why I had a feeling the Yankees got off with paying practically nothing, because Jeter said, we'll take whatever you want. Whatever you offer, we'll take. And they only gave up 3 players for him, too.
By the way, if you're going to see a trade that's going to go for him, I'll give you 3 players. He's going to go probably to the Yankees, and I'll give you 3 players that the Yankees will trade him, and they'll take it immediately.
Who's that?
Oswaldo Cabrera, Oswald Perea, and either Austin Wells or Jose Trevino.
It'll be Trevino, because they're not getting letting Wells.
I know, but I'm just saying, it wouldn't shock me if they got rid of Wells because of how young he is. But no. I think Trevino's the better player. Those three guys for Juan Soto, done. That's not fleecing them. That's mm-hmm. that's three top major league ready prospects or major league ready players.
Look, I hate
you're not getting you're not getting eight you're not getting eight or seven for a 1 year deal.
You're gonna have to give up more. They're not gonna walk away with that. It's gonna be a lopsided trade, and they're not giving up just three players for him. It's gonna be at least four or five.
Only if it's a sign and trade. They sign them and then they trade them. That's the only way they're getting their mortgage and they're getting the fucking house. Literally, they have to agree for him to re-sign there, because that's the big thing too. If he's not going to re-sign with the Yankees, they're not going to fucking trade.
Well, that's going to go for any team he ends up going to. The second he's there, they're going to work out they're going to work out an extension for him, because they're like, if we're giving up the farm, he's going to stay the fuck here for at least 9 or 10 years. He ain't going nowhere. He's only 25 years old. He's not even in his prime yet. You're gonna have to pay. He's gonna get over 500 mil.
Shohei's not getting 500 million.
If Shohei was healthy, Shohei would get over 600. I can guarantee it.
He would not get 60 million a year. He would get 50 a year for 10 years. That's his thing, because he can do both. Juan Soto is. I'm sorry. Hot take. Juan Soto's not the god-all, end-all best player in the MLB. If he was, he would be back-to-back MVP MVP, like Shohei, like Aaron Judge.
Yeah, he'd be in that conversation.
Yeah, like Judge, if Judge stayed healthy and he kept going and he did a little more, Judge would be in that 45 to 50, or maybe not 50, but like 40 to $45 million range.
Yeah, just like, you know, someone the other day was trying to rub it in about how Judge didn't win MVP over Ohtani and the Yankees sucked the shit. I'm like, okay. Like, see, that's how I know you don't watch shit outside of your team, because Aaron Judge missed, what, like 50 or 55 games?
But also, Judge should have won when Buzzer Boy won.
When Altuve won it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Huh?
All right. Stop with the huh. It's not funny anymore.
Christian didn't hear it, so I had to do it one time while he was here. But no, it's like, I have a feeling Soto's going to command. He's going to command a big contract.
Mm-hmm.
And
contract, yes. Not.
I still think he's going to get over 50. I still think what did he tell? I'm trying to think. What was the exact? I can't remember the exact dollar amount, but he turned off for the Nationals.
40. 10 years, for, 40 a year.
Was
400
million. Was it 400 million?
Yep.
And he turned that down. So you know he's going to want more than that.
Tell me, how was his year in San Diego this year? I don't
remember. He had 38 home runs this year in San Diego.
That was a quiet 38 home runs.
Well, because he's fucking playing in San Diego. It's not like they were fucking knocking down the door of anything.
Okay,
Padres sucked this year.
So did the Angels, and I knew fucking Shohei's.
Well, because Shohei's, I mean, come on, Ohtani's Ohtani.
You're proving my point.
Look, I understand your point, and I'm still saying Ohtani's going to command more money than Soto. I know this.
This is not a lie. My point is when you look at name value, even on the West Coast, Shohei is the face of the league.
Yeah, he is.
You're not wrong. I'm not.
Juan Soto's not. So when it comes, Juan Soto is not. When it comes to being the face, because, I mean, let's face it, his teammate was the face of the league, but he can't stay healthy.
Right.
Juan Soto, Trout.
Trout, yeah. Who's also been talked about in trade talks, too.
But here's the thing. Even on the West Coast, it doesn't matter how good of a player you are, if the media does not get a hold of you and does not, I hate saying it this way, shove you down your throats, then you're not going to know shit about them. Okay, Soto had 38 home runs. I didn't hear shit on ESPN about not even about the Padres, about him. Because if he was having a great year, they would have gone after him. They didn't talk about Machado. They talk. You know who they talked about? Blake fucking Snell.
That's true.
Well, you know what it was? Tatis was out majority of the year for A, from the injury, and B, from the suspension.
Well, that still doesn't mean they couldn't talk about Machado or so.
Machado had an off year, too, because he was hurt, too.
But what I'm saying is, though, is if they're that big of stars, if their name value is profit, it doesn't matter if they're having an off year or not. They're still being talked about. Shohei had a fucking torn PCL, fucking needs Tommy John surgery. They were still talking about him even when he was on the injured list.
Because Shohei is a fucking star. I think we've all established that.
And that's what's going to get him the money. Juan Soto needs to realize he's not that big of a name. He's a name. He's not the name. He's not getting the money that requires the name.
Well, let me put it to you this way. We all might be in agreement with that, but what's going through his mind is he's going to want Shohei money. He's going to want
Then he can ride the pine. He can find no. With how toxic he is in the locker room, I didn't even bring that up.
Oh, I know he is.
No team is going to pay him. He'd rather go to fucking Vegas. I heard the voice. I set you up.
Vegas!
They'll pay him that kind of money because they need a star out in Vegas. It's so stupid because they're not going to pay him. And especially now with the fact that the World Series probably had the worst ratings.
Yeah, because nobody gave a fuck about the Rangers and shit and the Diamondbacks. Nobody cared.
He takes it, right.
Whose fault's that, though? I mean, none of ours, but whose fault's that?
Yeah, exactly. It's because there's a... You know what? It would have gotten... I think it would have gotten a higher rating. Oh, crap.
I'm sorry. I brought him in. I'm sorry. Yeah, well, you live in Arizona, too, so it's hot as balls there, too. You can go back to Arizona. You can go back to fucking Tempe.
It's a little bit hotter here than that. Being really disrespectful.
I don't give a shit about being disrespectful. You're fucking Satan.
Yeah, I'm fucking Satan.
Yeah, and I'm fucking Satan too. Shut up, Saddam.
Saddam.
I'm sitting out of this one.
I'm just sitting here. I ain't gonna say a fucking word.
I'm just watching. I'm just
he wants Devo to go get his brick.
It's really disrespectful.
Listen, Satan. If you really wanted to show that you were fucking around so bad, you should have had Missouri lose a couple games because now they'll go in bowling in a New Year's Six bowl.
There are some things that are even out of my control, but after the victory,
bullshit.
The fuck was that?
Tortured a cat?
Yes.
Okay, now I'm deaf now.
Christ. Nice job there, Master Popo.
You're welcome, sir. You're welcome. You want to hear it again?
No.
No.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure. We don't want to hear it again.
It's the sound of me jamming my thumb up Aaron Rodgers' asshole.
Oh, Jesus. Tepping in Christ on a crutch.
It's like it.
Talk about run to the hills.
Oh, you can't run. There's no running.
Oh, you know what? Are you taking credit for that shit movie that's about to come out Thanksgiving Day?
What, the movie, the horror movie Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
I saw it. It was fucking awesome.
That was me.
That was you?
It's fucking
awesome.
I
wanted to give you today a taste of, like, 80s B-horror, and I couldn't think of a better way to
That movie was fucking awesome. Don't knock
Oh my God, is that my Satan over there? Hi there, Satan. It's a long time. Christian ain't helping you now there, boy.
God, help me out here. God, I know you can help me, John.
I ain't saying shit, motherfucker.
He's going to help you like a gimmick that's not going to be here, like Veer Mahan. Listen, I'll get out of your hair as long as the mini bar's open.
No, fuck, leave it, run, go, go, get it, stop.
I guess the mini bar's not open. Okay, yeah, we got rid of Satan, yeah. All right, Joanna, you can go back to your fucking cake. I told you, here's your steak. Get the fuck out of there. I grilled it again for you. Shit, it's made of more leather. Made of more leather than your fucking face.
We got a sound that drives her away. It's the sound of limp dick.
No, sweetheart. You got to realize, anything limp can fit in any hole. It's just got to take a little working.
Jesus Christ.
And on that note, Joanna, get the fuck out of here.
Y'all need Jesus, I swear.
Jesus, listen, I know Jesus, too. He's a great man. Nothing really under that robe. Kind of reminded me of Raider Dave.
Raider Dave is currently balls deep in some article about the Vegas A's.
Balls deep in an article screaming,
At least he's balls deep in
something. Onita! Onita! It's Christian.
He's balls deep listening to Raiders A's while screaming.
I am a man!
So, anyway. I am a man. Anywho. I think that's really it for baseball.
Yeah, there's not much baseball news right now.
We said what we had to say. Yeah, let's get into this college football news.
Yeah, let's do that.
Because there is some news. Yeah, pretty much like that. For Ohio State, can go suck a dick.
Take a note, Ohio State, suck a dick.
Yeah, by the way, we can add another firing and buyout, Christian.
Wow, what happened?
Syracuse fired their head coach.
Oh, they fired Dino Babers?
Yep.
You kind of saw the writing on the wall for that. So what, that's like the second job available. Honestly, with Texas A&M, you know who I think is going to end up going to Texas A&M?
What?
Mike Elko.
Yeah, we talked about that on Monday. If you want to hear that conversation, we did a play-by-play radio show of Monday Night Football. It's on the,
yeah,
on the
yeah,
site.
Yeah, that was fun. We'll talk about that when we get to the NFL.
200 people said it was fun, too.
There you go. Honestly, college football is kind of in a flux. Overall, with coaches losing their job left and right and all the realignment, you know, it's almost like, you know, the sport that so many people have come to know and love
right
over the last couple of years, like, it's changing because the NCAA, all they want is a dime. You know what I'm saying?
Like I said, I can see us getting one final realignment. And it's 10 conferences, and it's 16 teams. Pretty much the SEC stays the SEC. You could add Miami and shit like that. But you're going to start getting regions.
Right.
Like, the Big East is coming back. The Big Ten's still there.
Yeah.
SEC,
but,
the Big 12.
Like, I was talking to somebody the other day And even he said, I'll tell you what he said word for word. He was like, man, I just hate what college football is starting to become now because of all this realignment. And he even went as far as to say, if, you know, when Oregon goes to the Big Ten, they're going to play Michigan in a game and neither team has history with one another. And he wasn't wrong when he said that. I just think maybe this could do the sport some good, or maybe it's going to backfire. But, you know, what's the one thing we always think about whenever we think about college sports? You know, we think of those legendary rivalries. Like, you know, let's look at college basketball as an example. Could you imagine Duke and North Carolina leaving the ACC and then we never see that matchup again?
No, exactly. And, like, this is the last, like we had the last Bedlam this year. This is the last Civil War for a while.
Yeah, but isn't Oregon State going to the Big Ten too?
No, Oregon is, but Oregon State's not.
No, Oregon State was.
Oregon State's staying in the pack too.
There's no way that they can't let both these teams not face each other. You know what I'm saying?
No, this is actually a choice of Oregon State. Oregon State does not want to put them on as a non-conference game.
Wow.
Like, the Apple Cup is going to happen.
Okay.
Because they flat out said that they don't care. They'll do.
Mm-hmm.
They'll do it. Like, they don't care. They'll be like, yep, we're in. It's fine. But they need to find a way to build new rivalries, I guess.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean,
like last year I went to Rutgers Syracuse.
Right.
Now I went to Rutgers Temple also. Everyone will ask you why is that such a big deal? I go, because those games back in the day used to mean everything. That's old school Big East rivalry. When Temple was part of the Big East.
But I just think all the realigning, like a lot of people would say, it's ruining college sports. And I think I echo a lot of people's sentiments because, I mean, you know, who wants to see USC and Ohio State? Well, that might actually have some meaning to it because those are both college football blue bloods. You get what I'm saying? But, you know, USC, Penn State, there's no connection between the two teams. Like, it's just going to be weird seeing West Coast teams in a conference that primarily has teams that play in the Midwest.
Right. Well, I mean, the Big Ten, like, that was the same thing, like, the Big Ten getting Rutgers.
That doesn't really bother me, you know? Like, they kind of fit the bill of a Big Ten team. Because when you think of Big Ten football teams, what's the thing that comes to mind?
Yeah, defense and running the
ball. Defense, running the football, ball control,
so,
offensive line, and they have that. So that I'm not completely against.
So starting next year, the ACC is getting Cal, SMU, Stanford, and that's it. Those are the three extra teams.
Yeah, that's just weird to me. But then again, money talks.
Yeah, the Big 12 is getting Arizona State,
mm-hmm.
BYU. Well, no, they're already there. OK State's already there. Okay, that's it. They're just and Colorado and Utah are going there.
Mm-hmm.
To the Big 12. Big 10, UCLA, USC, Oregon, Washington.
Oh, Washington is going to the Big Ten.
Yeah,
right?
Washington State's not. The only two teams left in the Pac-12 are going to be Oregon State and Washington State.
Where's Colorado going?
The Big 12.
Yeah, because Texas, Oklahoma are both going to the
SEC. Yep.
Where's Oklahoma State going? Are they staying or are they going?
They're staying in the Big 12.
I mean, look, we could be talking about it right now as it being just different, but I think maybe if we watch it, maybe it'll be a different opinion. But I don't know.
Like I said, I'm going to tell you, the Mountain West is going to go into the Pac-12, and you're going to start getting all these teams out of the FCS to reform the Mountain West. Like your Idahos, your North Dakota States, your teams like that, like South Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to start getting teams like that that are Midwest, like the Midwest area,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to start getting yeah, like you're going to get South Dakota, Montana, South Dakota State, Idaho, North Dakota, Montana. Like you're going to get legit Midwest schools.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to, because let's face it, Hawaii fits more the Pac-12 than it
yeah,
does.
Yeah, I'm surprised they never became a Pac-12 team, because you're absolutely right. I don't know. Like, it's going to be weird seeing Texas and Oklahoma in the SEC, because look how relevant they were in the Big 12.
They're going to be more relevant than Vandy.
Yeah, but everybody knows who the two big dogs are of the SEC. It's Georgia and Alabama, with maybe LSU on the outside looking in behind those two.
Yep, Uga and the Tide.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I mean, we'll see. I mean, next year is going to be a feeling out process.
Right.
Brian, you got any thoughts on this?
No, sir.
John, you got?
Nothing.
All right, let's go into the top 25, the recap of the rankings.
Mm-hmm.
Teams that have dropped out this year, North Carolina, Utah, and Kansas.
Not shot.
No. Number 25, cracking the top 25. Kind of bullshit that they're in here, not the team that are going to be facing next week, Liberty.
Mm-hmm.
Liberty.
No love for New Mexico State after they smoked Auburn. Number 24, getting in after their win over North Carolina, Clemson.
God, they've been such a weird team this year. I think they're going to have, in the spring, they're going to have all eyes on them. Because remember, Dabo didn't want to take advantage of the transfer portal. I don't know why, because it's there to help you. But, yeah, they've been such a weird team. I mean, you saw what they were with Trevor Lawrence. I mean, they barely lost when he was there, right? Then you go to DJ Uiagalelei, and he wasn't bad. I just don't think he was given the right opportunity, or they didn't coach him to a skill set. I don't know which one it was. And then Cade Klubnik came in with a lot of hype, right?
Right.
And he just didn't pan out. So Clemson has to do something, because you know, I think the sport is stronger with them good. Because let's just say if they did have a quarterback, right, they'd probably be in the top three or maybe in the top six of the college football playoff rankings. You know, maybe they'd be in that four, or they'd be on the outside looking in and still have some work to do. But, yeah, like what we've seen from them the last couple of years, it's just really – it's been un-Clemson-like, because – those years when they were winning championships, the defense was good, They had a good running game, but most importantly, they had a quarterback, and now they don't have a quarterback.
Right. Yeah, that's the thing. And Shipley can only do so much, and I think Shipley's been hurt, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, number 23, 10-1, Tulane. Number 21, good old Rocky Slop after their loss to Georgia, Tennessee. Oh, good, they got Vandy next, though.
Mm-hmm.
Number 20, OK State. Number 19, K-State. Number 18, after their beat down of Wake Forest, Notre Dame. Number 17, after the ugly-ass game, Iowa. Because there's no O in Iowa. Number 16, Oregon State. Number 15, Bear Down, Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Number 14, LSU. 13, Boomer Sooners of Oklahoma. Number 12, Ole Miss. Okay. Number 11, Penn State. And 10, Louisville. 9, Missouri. 8, Bama. 7, Texas. 6, Oregon. 5, Florida State. 4, Washington, 3, Michigan, 2, Ohio State, 1, Georgia. Big news out of all this, Washington in, Florida State out.
Yeah, see, my thing with that, it's almost like the committee is penalizing Florida State for losing the quarterback.
Here's the thing. Florida State wins the next two games, doesn't matter, they're in. Doesn't matter. They're putting this on Michigan, Ohio State, and pretty much saying Florida State, you have the fourth seed and starting next week if you win out. Beat Florida, beat Louisville, you're in.
Mm-hmm.
Because then that's 4 undefeated teams.
Mm-hmm.
They lose, well, then shit gets interesting. Because then you're going to have 2 one-loss teams.
Yeah, Look,
with everything else backed up.
I haven't been impressed with Washington ever since the Oregon game, because if we're realistically speaking, that's a game they should have lost.
Yeah.
But it just seems like every test that's been thrown in Washington's way, they've found a way to deliver and push through. Like, I really thought that game the other night against Oregon State was a trap game for them. And Oregon State did everything correctly in the second half. They adjusted. They got past the bottom of football a little bit more. But when opportunities presented themselves, they just couldn't deliver. You know, and Washington just showed you that they can be battle-tested. But I don't know. I don't trust Washington's defense. That's the issue I have with them. Because think about it. We already know Georgia can play defense, right?
Yep.
Ohio State plays defense. Bama plays defense. And Michigan plays defense. Washington, not so much. I mean, I think if they were to go against either one of those teams, Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State, Michigan, they lose. And they lose convincingly, too.
Right. But then you get – if you get 3 one-loss teams, or hell, you could have 4 one-loss teams going on in this. I was going to say, you could have every team technically lose out of this top 5.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Georgia loses to Bama, Ohio State, Michigan, there's one loss. Whoever is in the Big Ten title game loses. Washington could lose to Oregon or even to Wazoo. Florida State could lose to Florida or Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have, dude, if you got that, would you leave Georgia out? Like, if you, let's put it this way. I'll set the scenario.
Set the scenario, sir.
Bama beats Georgia.
Okay.
No, they're out of the top five. Iowa is your Big Ten champ. So Ohio State, Michigan both have one loss.
Mm-hmm.
Oregon's your Pac-12 champ. Louisville is your ACC champ. Oregon is your Pac-12 champ. Texas is your Big 12 champ.
Maybe.
So let's say Georgia and Alabama, right?
Yep.
Let's say Alabama were to beat them. Georgia would probably fall to the 3 seed. Like, they're not going to keep Georgia out. Because, remember, it's what I told you, and it's what I kept saying after TCU in Kansas State last year. I'm not going to not reward a team that played in their conference title game and lost over a team that didn't make their conference title game at all.
Okay, then now here's my question to you.
Mm-hmm.
Does Bama get in, and does Texas get in?
What's the scenario if Bama loses?
Oh, no, so here's the scenario. So Bama wins.
Mm-hmm.
So UGA versus Bama. Bama wins, so that means it's a one-loss Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a Big Ten champ. Somehow Iowa beats Michigan or Ohio State.
I think Michigan would still get in. I could see it because the committee would look at that win over Ohio State, I think. That, I think, would work.
But wait. But then Oregon is your Pac-12 champ.
I mean, me personally, I think it's going to be Georgia, Michigan, Oregon, and in that fourth spot, maybe Florida State, but...
If Florida State does not beat Louisville, no. Florida State would be out. Honest to God, if Oregon is there, I would have Oregon jump Washington. See, that's the thing.
Because if Oregon were to beat Washington, Oregon's in.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. But if Texas wins the Big 12 and Bama wins against Georgia, you're not going to have... Like, you can't – like, that's the scenario, though. You can't have Georgia or Bama jump Texas because Texas lost to Bama.
No, Texas beat Bama.
That's what I meant. Sorry.
Yeah. I know what you meant. I don't know.
So, I mean, honestly, if the Big Ten does not have a champion, both of them will be out. And honestly, you would have – four would probably be Oregon, Texas, Bama, Georgia.
Yeah, I can see that.
Even then, and if that was the case, I would still have Georgia as your one seed. I think you wouldn't, or put them at the two, and put Oregon at one.
Yeah, I mean, there's still a lot of scenarios.
That's just one. That's one of many between these eight teams. Don't worry, Ryan. Missouri is nowhere. No, does not have a chance to make the four, the top four. Yeah, no, they have two losses. They can't. Now if they ended up beating Georgia, this is a whole different issue. But with that being said. We ready to get into our picks?
Yep.
Yeah, let's do it.
Christian, need to know, other than the one game I know, I need to know if there's any other college.
Oh, okay.
And pro.
I got you, yeah.
I know you're previewing the game.
Duh.
But, all right, we have a good amount today because there's a lot of rivalry games that actually mean shit. First game on this list, we're going to the freaking Florida game. Florida State takes on the Florida. FSU is a 6.5-point favorite in the swamp.
I think Florida State wins. I mean, the whole dynamic of their team changes now because there's no Jordan Travis. But I'm going to say Florida State. It won't be easy. Just don't think the Gators are going to lay down. Everybody gets up for a rivalry game, and I think that's what you're going to see in this one.
Ryan?
Florida State.
John?
Florida, I guess.
I'm going to go Gators. If this was in Seminole Town, if this was in FSU, if this was in Tallahassee, I would say FSU, but this is in the swamp. I think they're going to make this committee it's going to be very easy for the committee to make this decision. Florida State wins, or Florida State loses, so they're going to be out.
Mm-hmm.
Next, we got some good old-fashioned hate. Georgia versus Georgia Tech.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is just a tune-up for them before the SEC title game and the crunch run. You know, I mean, the stretch run, my bad. Georgia's going to win this one, and they're rounding in the form. I mean, they played their best football since late October and all of this month. Like, they've been flawless, taking care of the ball. They're getting good play out of Carson Beck. The other receivers are stepping up. Ladd McConkey has stepped up. Daiwan Mitchell, they're giving him carries. And defensively, they're rounding in the form. I'm taking Georgia here.
Okay. John?
Georgia.
Bryce?
Georgia.
My only worry is this is a look-ahead for them. Because that they're going to be looking ahead to Bama. I don't think they lose. I don't think they cover, though. I think they get out of Dodge and not be hurt. It's three and a half. It's three touchdowns and a field goal. I think they win by 14. Give me other.
Yeah, but look, Kirby's too good of a coach to let that happen.
Yeah, but you know what, though? That's a thing in the SEC, though. Look, like I said, I'll dial it back to what happened last week. Look at New Mexico State. You don't think Alabama wasn't looking ahead to the Iron Bowl?
Yeah.
And forget just getting beat. They got stomped out by a team that they paid $1.3 million to come in.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, yeah, so they could be looking ahead. I think they're going to win and then get out unscathed. I don't think they're going to win by 24, though. They'll win by 14.
Yeah.
Memphis is a 13-point favorite over Temple. Sorry, Ryan.
I was just saying that's more believable.
Yeah. Memphis, Temple, 13 points. Memphis is favored. Yeah, Memphis is not good. Even though this is home, give me Memphis.
Memphis.
Christian?
I'm going to take Memphis.
Yeah, Rye?
Who is it?
Memphis Temple.
Give me Memphis.
Next, the reason I brought that up, too, is because now we go into UTSA takes on
Tulane.
Sorry, I didn't even finish. Tulane, the winner of this game will be going to pretty much be UTSA needs. Actually, no, the winner of this game gets a spot in the American Championship game.
I'll take Tulane.
Yeah, I like Tulane. I really like their offense. Remember, this is the same team that beat USC in the Cotton Bowl last year. They have a really good quarterback in Michael Pratt. Yeah, I'm going to take the Green Wave.
Ryan?
Green Wave.
Yeah, beep, beep, motherfuckers. Give me UTSA. This is their quarterback's last run until he goes away, and he's not stopping. They're going to make a way to the title game, but that doesn't mean Tulane's out of it. If what's the other Smoo loses, then Tulane actually will get the spot. Texas Tech takes on Texas. Texas is a 14-point favorite.
Texas.
Deja.
Yeah, I'm taking the Longhorns. Ewers is back, right?
Yep.
Yeah, but I know Jonathan Brooks is out, and losing him is tough because he may be their best player. Like, things are so much easier for them when he's making things, when he's making things happen. It's tough to replace a guy like that, but yeah, I like Texas.
Yeah, hook 'em. All right, and the game that they really need, TCU takes on Oklahoma. Boomer Sooners are 10-point favorite.
Oklahoma.
Boomer Sooner.
Chris.
Christian. Who are they playing?
I was gonna say, whoa, watch that.
I know. TCU versus Oklahoma.
Yeah, I like Oklahoma. It just hasn't really been a good year this year for TCU. But look at how much they lost. You know, they lost a large chunk of players who were pretty instrumental in them getting to the national championship. And it's tough to replace guys like that.
Right.
Yep. Boomer Sooner wins but does not cover. BYU is going to have to. BYU is going to play this game tough because if they win, they go bowling. So they're going to be playing this game hard-nosed, but we'll see what happens. All right, next game, Penn State takes on Michigan State. Penn State's 21-point favorite.
Penn.
I like Penn State. Yeah. I know. No, they've kind of had a little bit of an up-and-down year because I don't think they – as good as advertised. You see what I'm saying? Like, their defense is good. They can run the ball, but until they can get a consistent quarterback, they're just, oh, that's it. That's just it. They're always going to look up to Michigan and Ohio State in the Big Ten.
Yeah, I agree with that. Penn State.
Yeah, Michigan State's just not a good football team this year. They've had a lot go wrong for them.
Yeah. All right, Christian, you are reviewing this game. It is the game.
Mm-hmm.
The Buckeyes of Ohio State are 3-point dogs to the Wolverines of Michigan, the boys in maize and blue.
Mm-hmm.
What's your keys to this?
Well, for Ohio State, you thought it was tough. Why am I hearing that?
I don't know. I heard that too. Speak real quick. Okay, now you're good now.
Yeah. You thought it was tough for Kyle McCord to go into Notre Dame Stadium in South Bend at night. This is going to be a lot tougher than what he saw that night. Ohio State, they can't give this Michigan defense the chance to be opportunistic because they make you pay for turnovers. I think this may be the best defense that Jim Harbaugh's had since he took over in Ann Arbor. You know, it's key. Ohio State, they're going to use Marvin Harrison Jr. in different – watch them include him, incorporate into the short passing game. You know, because they're going to take everything away deep down the field. They're going to limit everybody else, and they're going to say, look, everybody but number 18 can beat me. I have Emeka Egbuka beating me all game long. I think he's going to be key in this game. And for Michigan, they got to keep their emotions in check. It's like what I told you, Ronnie. Look, I get you're playing with that chip on your shoulder, but you don't have to say it every time a microphone is in your face. Just go out and play because the actions speak louder than any word. I can't wait to preview this one. I remember when I previewed it the first time. It was 2016, and I think that one went in a double overtime. I previewed it in 2017. I did it in 2018. Did it in 2019. They didn't play in 2020. Previewed it in 2021 and then did it last year as well. So that's what, six times? I think this is my seventh time doing it. JJ McCarthy has to play better because, to be honest, I didn't like the way Michigan looked last week, but let's not throw Maryland under the bus. You see what I'm saying? Maryland's not a bad football team, and they're the only team this year to put at least 20 points up on Michigan. Michigan's punched everybody in the mouth in their path. And we all see what happened the last couple of years between Ohio State and Michigan. Michigan's won it. Aiden Hutchinson was the guy that took over the game in 2021. And last year it was a mix of J.J. McCarthy and Donovan Edwards going into the shoe. And that was their first win in the shoe since 2000. And a guy named Tom Brady was the starting quarterback for the University of Michigan. This is a big game. It's rare because usually neither team comes into this matchup undefeated.
No, this is the second year back-to-back that it's happened.
Mm-hmm.
So, we'll see where it goes. But, all right. John, who you taking? The Boys and Maize or the Horseshoe? Ohio State, Michigan.
Michigan.
Right?
Hey, Michigan.
I do not know how this game is 3 points. Christian, you can answer me this.
Mm-hmm.
Who has Ohio State actually beaten from pillar to post?
Yeah.
I can give you one team.
Who?
The Hilltoppers of Western Kentucky.
Yeah. Because, look, they needed a mistake from Notre Dame to win that one, and then
they need the refs' help to not lose the Rutgers.
Yeah, if I'm being completely honest with you, I didn't like the way they looked against Penn State. They had so many opportunities to blow that game open and really move away from them.
They only beat Youngstown State, the motherfucking Penguins, by 37.
Mm-hmm.
A team that should not even be on the same field, the team that you're paying to come in and beat, you literally had to pull away with them in the third quarter.
Right.
I'm sorry. I get it. They're a better second-half team than they are a first-half team. You know what? Michigan's a better three-quarter team than they are a fourth-quarter team.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan can pull away and then coast the fourth quarter, which means give me the Boys in Maize and Blue.
Yeah, I mean, I've always compared this rivalry, and I've always called it the Duke in North Carolina of college football, because no matter where these two teams are ranked, everyone knows this is my.
This is in the same aspect of rivalry wise as like an Army Navy is like a Civil War.
You know, having lived in the Midwest, these two schools, these fan bases, and these football teams do not like each other.
Right.
You see what Ohio State does prior to this game, right?
Yeah.
John, have you ever seen what Ohio State does prior to this game against Michigan?
Never really. I really don't pay any attention to it, to be honest.
So, here, you'll get a laugh out of this. Everything with the letter M, right?
I heard nothing but echoes in that during that whole thing.
All right, can you hear me now?
Talk for you a few minutes.
Okay, why am I echoing? Because it's really starting to make me mad.
Something's going on with your end, I think. That's what it's looking like on my Skype.
I don't have any effects on, man.
I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, because I heard Christian stuff, and then I heard it again, and then I heard it again.
You want me to hang up and then try?
No, it's I don't know what it is. You try it now. You should be able to be good.
So, John, here's how big this rivalry is. When they play, everything that begins with the letter M in sentences around Ohio State or even around town, right? They cross it out with a big red X. Like the letter M is like prohibited this week in Ohio. And even when Ohio State drops their schedule, everyone knows these two teams play the final week of the regular season, and they don't even refer to them as Michigan. They just call them that team North. Like, that's how intense this rivalry is.
Interesting.
There's so much history between the two of them, and I mean, there's so many memorable matchups. You know, like the first time I previewed it, 2016, I think Michigan was ranked number 4. And Ohio State, I think, was ranked number 2. And it went into double overtime. Ohio State survived. You know, that was my first time being able to preview it. And then Michigan, like, Ohio State had dominated this series the last couple of years. But when I look at Michigan always had better teams between these two. Ohio State just had better players at the most important position, which was quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you know who's not playing this game this year?
Who?
C.J. Stroud.
Uh-huh.
That's why Michigan is the better team right now.
Yeah.
But, all right, next game. Coming home, Maryland taking on Rutgers. It's senior night for the boys in RU. Maryland is a 1-point favorite. It's the last home game. Both teams are bowl eligible. It really doesn't mean anything. Give me RU, though.
Rutgers.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm taking Rutgers as well.
Yeah.
I will be front and center for that game. So next I have is Jacksonville State versus New Mexico State. Jacksonville State is a 4-point favorite. They are not eligible to play in the Conference USA title because of this 2-year bowl ban. That's why New Mexico State has it. This is their Super Bowl. With that, give me J-Rod and Jacksonville State.
Yeah, I'm taking Jacksonville State as well.
Yeah, Jacksonville State.
Bryce, what do you got?
Jacksonville.
New Mexico is going to rest everybody to get ready for Liberty. Going to the Mountain West. This is very interesting. Air Force takes on Boise State. Now, Boise State wins this game. I believe Boise State is in the Mountain West title game against UNLV. I think if they win, they're in.
Mm-hmm.
Which just... You want to talk about a team that fell from fucking grace in Air Force. They went from, undefeated, to 3 straight losses. Which leads this to be interesting because Boise State's favored by 7. Yeah, Boise State wins, they're in. This game locks in the last team. UNLV will take on either Air Force or Boise State, or if there's fuckery, San Jose State. Because they have UNLV. Talking about this on Friday, or on Monday. There's a lot that could happen.
Mm-hmm.
With that being said, give me the boys in blue. Turf. Give me Boise.
Boise.
Hey, nobody.
Yeah, you do. We predicted Boise State to win the Mountain West at the beginning of the year. Christian.
Hey, nobody care.
I'm putting you down for Boise then.
Yeah, put me down for ANC. Ain't nobody care.
Hey, you want to put on that list that you predicted 2 conference titles in 1 year?
Oh, fuck you.
Well, with that being said, next game, San Jose State, UNLV. Oh, give me Nevada. Give me UNLV.
Nevada.
right?
Ain't nobody care.
Yeah.
UNLV. All
right, next, we're going to the island. Colorado State needs this to go bowl eligible. Hawaii's pretty much fucking done. Colorado State's favored by a lot. Give me Colorado State.
Ain't nobody give a shit.
I'll say Colorado State.
Thank you, Christian.
You're welcome.
Rye?
What is it?
Colorado State versus Hawaii.
Give me Hawaii.
All right. Time for the last Civil War for now. Oregon State versus Oregon. Oregon is a 14-point favorite. This is going to be very interesting because Oregon is on the pace to make the playoff.
Mm-hmm.
Oregon State can match them passing easily.
They can, but I don't think that's going to be a good idea for them because you never want to try and beat a team that's known to do something.
Yes, I agree with that. But here's the one thing Oregon State does not have that Oregon has. Oregon State cannot tackle in the open field.
Right, and that's what I think is going to end up hurting them. But I know if I'm Oregon, I'm coming into this game, and I'm kind of throwing them off their rocker a little bit. And what I mean by that is I'm establishing Bucky Irving. I think he's going to be the key in this game. He can beat you with handoffs in the backfield, and he can – and he can catch the ball out of the backfield. He's that versatile piece. And you notice when teams play Oregon, all the emphasis is on the passing game. When they're running the football, they can really run the football consistently. Look at it. Look at the game against Washington. You know, I think both defenses, to be fair, underestimated the running games because Michael Penix and Bo Nix command that much attention. I like Oregon in this one. I think Oregon State keeps it interesting. This is my first time. I previewed this one yesterday. This is my first time previewing that game, and can't believe this is the last one.
For now. Yeah, I'm going with Puddles. Give me the Ducks.
Yeah.
All right. Notre Dame takes on Stanford. Notre Dame is a 26-point favorite. Notre Dame.
Yeah.
That's a quick hit.
Notre Dame.
That Bry.
Notre Dame.
Yep, go Irish. All right, time for the Sun Bowl. Or the Sun. What is it? The Pitchfork. That's what they play for, the Pitchfork. Arizona State.
I'm going to go Arizona here. Arizona State was embarrassed the other day by Oregon.
Arizona is a 10.5-point favorite. Hit that, they're going to win by 21. Bear down.
Arizona.
Who still, after, if everything goes their way, can still, in a slim chance, make the Pac-12 title game. How about that for some shit?
Yeah, that's crazy.
All right, time to go get your apples because it's the Apple Cup. Wazoo takes on Washington. Washington's a 16.5-point favorite.
Washington can't overlook Washington State because they know what's potentially in front of them. Another game with Oregon and a potential playoff spot on the line. I like Washington, but I think Wazoo will make it interesting.
Yeah, Washington wins, but they don't cover. They win by 14. Give me Washington.
Washington.
Right?
Washington.
All right, Ryan, might want to have fun with this one. Missouri is a 9-point favorite over Arkansas. He's got nothing. Mizzou, because they have a chance to make in a New Year's Six Bowl. They need to beat Arkansas. They beat Arkansas, and they beat them with margin. They beat them by 14.
Mm-hmm.
Taking Mizzou too, Christian?
I'm taking Mizzou.
John?
Yeah, why not?
I got you, Ryan.
And finally, Christian, time for the Iron Bowl. If anyone gets that joke, God bless you. Alabama.
Right.
Going in to Jordan O'Hare to take on Auburn in the Iron Bowl.
Man, so many memorable moments between these two. Like, I remember 2010. Cam Newton going into Jordan Hare. That, to me, is what clinched and wrapped up the Heisman for him. That Auburn team was just so unstoppable that year, right? Then 2013, the kick six, remember that?
Yep.
Actually had Auburn winning that game. But it just seems like these last couple years, it's been all Bama. Jalen Milroe, he's really stepped it up. I guess it takes having to bench somebody almost for them to play better. I mean, he has just been doing everything for this offense. He's put this offense on his back. They're running the ball. They're playing defense. They just have too much for Auburn. I like the Crimson Tide here.
Yep.
Yeah, roll fucking Tide. Fuck Auburn and LSU too. Yep. All fucking day. Give me Bama. Bama goes into Georgia. They're on a hot streak right now, and that should make shit interesting.
Yep.
All right. Move our way to the NFL. There's not a lot of news for the NFL. So we can skip the news and go right to picks.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
And with that being said, it is time for our Thanksgiving picks. And if you want to know recap of last week, I'm in last. Christian, you're not in first anymore.
Who is?
Ryan.
Oh, you motherfucker.
You fucking love it, don't you?
Oh, you cunt. You fucking motherfucker.
Fucking love it, muscle lips.
You motherfucker.
He went 10-4 last week.
Nice, Ryan.
Thank you. I've been doing my research.
All right. Well, put that research to work in this game.
Well, ready to go. Let's fucking do this.
The Green Bay Packers are a 7.5-point dog to the Detroit Lions.
Let me tell you right now. Are going to fucking blow it. They are not going to beat the Lions. This is going to be the, what, second season that they've done a complete season sweep of the Packers?
Yep.
Yeah, I agree with Ryan. The Lions always play the Packers tough in Detroit, and they always play them tough on Thanksgiving.
To be honest, dude, if you're in Detroit and you're playing ball, you really want to fucking lose on Thanksgiving?
Right, because everyone's watching you. I like the Lions here. They're just playing with so much confidence right now. And last week showed you what a mentally tough football team looks like, because Jared Goff threw 3 interceptions and the Lions still rallied to win that football game. When you turn the ball over that many times, you normally lose.
Yeah. I'm taking Detroit, too.
Detroit.
Honestly, if you're looking to bet that game, tease them down to 1.5. All they got to do is win. That's a freaking lock. That's a fucking lock. Washington. Ugh. Thank God the tryptophan's going to kick in by then. is taking on Dallas.
And you know what? This is what pisses me off.
They're a 12.5-point favorite.
This should be a traditional, old-school Thanksgiving game. of fucking Cowboys versus Indians.
Well, it will be in a couple of years when they change the fucking name back to the Redskins.
But no, we can't celebrate fucking Thanksgiving with Native American teams because y'all found it racist, cancel culture cocksuckers.
Hey, hey, why do you think I played Run to the Hills?
I was hoping you'd play the rest of that song. I like that song. I love fucking Maiden, man.
Since we're on it, I don't have enough in the Commanders. Give me Dallas.
Oh,
Cowgirls.
Dak Prescott's playing the best ball of his career. I mean, he's taking tremendous care of the ball. He's picking his spots. He's not doing – it's that happy medium. You get what I mean by that, guys? Like, they're not having him do too much, nor is he doing too little. He's right in the middle, and he's doing just enough. I like Dallas here. They're the better team. This defense is going to have itself a day because Sam Howell is the most set quarterback in the National League. They're going to throw a lot of different looks at him. And the number one game plan when you play the Cowboys is to do what? Always focus in on where Micah Parsons is.
Yeah, and they're not going to – it's going to be hard for them. Honestly, I'll give you a best bet for this game. Sam Howell throws a pick.
You think?
that's my lock of the fucking century.
And then, look, Ronnie, I'm going to throw one in, too. You think you can put this in for me on a ticket?
Oh, okay.
Deron Bland, pick six.
All right, I might not be able to do pick six, but I can definitely do – I can try to get him as a pick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of – dude, it's like, oh, yeah, Sam Howell's going to fucking throw a pick. Is the fucking sky blue? Oh, my God, yeah, no shit he's going to throw a pick. Can I put down he's going to throw three picks? Yeah. I bet you Michael Parsons gets a fucking pick. Give me Dallas. All right, Christian, you're reviewing the night game for this. I want to just give some injury information real quick. It looks like there's no announcement who's starting at quarterback yet in this game.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks like the running back for Seattle is not playing. He's going to be
Kenneth Walker.
Kenneth Walker is going to be out for at least 2 weeks, it looks like.
Wow. That's a blow for them because they built this offense around him and DK Metcalf. They've become one of the better duos in the National Football League. But I want to say this. I said this on Monday Evening Quarterback with my one phone caller the other day. What's up, Joe? Just wanted to shout Joe Grisso out. You know, the 49ers made that move, right, to acquire who? Chase Young, right? You know what this move reminds me of, guys?
Mm.
When the Rams got Von Miller.
Yeah.
You know, it's very reminiscent of that now. Can it be the same result that the Rams got? To be determined, but it just seems like that three-game losing streak is in the rearview mirror now because they're healthy. You have Trent Williams and Deebo Samuel. I think he is the 49ers' most important player on the offensive side of the ball. And it's not him necessarily impacting the stat sheet. It's his presence and putting pressure on defenses to really account for him. You know what I'm saying? And I really like this 49ers defense because they can rush four. Only they can rush the passer and not blitz. They don't have to. Seattle, that was a tough loss the other day against the Rams. Just couldn't execute when it mattered most. They're still in this thing, you know, in the NFC. And you know what's crazy, Ronnie?
Hold on. Give me 1 second. I'm going to be right back. Keep talking, Christian.
Yeah, and you know what's crazy, guys? You know, I was looking at the AFC after the Jets got Aaron Rodgers, and I'm like, wow, look at all the firepower has truly shifted to the AFC from a quarterback standpoint. Rodgers, Burrow, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert, Tua, Russell Wilson, Just to name a few. And now look, Rodgers is done. Josh Allen hasn't looked all that great. Lamar's playing well. But his health is always going to be a major concern. And Joe Burrow's done for the year as well. The NFC has been highly competitive this year. Like, I really enjoy watching football in the NFC. When I look at Seattle, they got to get after Brock Purdy early on. They got to hit him. They gotta put them in long yardage situations, and if they can do that, they have that.
Right,
I preview this one tomorrow.
Yep. All right, Ryan, who are you taking?
69ers.
Good cook. That's the beer league team.
No, give me San Fran.
San Fran.
Same thing.
I gotta speak San Francisco.
Which
Bailey's favorite team.
Yeah, give me the Giants. Like I said, Kenneth Walker out. You don't know if it's Locke or if it's Geno. If it's Geno, God help them.
Yeah, but I mean,
we're talking about the Giants.
You mean the Niners?
The Niners. What did I say? The Geno.
Yeah.
The 49ers, the 69ers. Walker out is a huge blow for them. All right, Black Friday, Miami, taking on the New York Jets. Miami's a 9.5-point favorite.
Only way the Jets are beating the Dolphins is if you guys got fucking Flash Gordon, the quarterback.
You're not wrong.
Nah, I'm going to piggyback off what Ryan said. The only way the Jets are going to win this game is if they can dominate the trenches on both sides of the ball. So lots of Breece Hall and really pressuring Tua up the middle and flushing him to the right side of the pocket, really eliminating Tyreek Hill, but then you got to worry about Jalen Waddle. I like Miami. I just think across the board, they have way too much firepower.
This will be the only game that the Jets might actually score a fucking touchdown that now that the hack has finally been sat down.
Okay, I'm going to say this. It was not all Zach Wilson's fault. It's not his fault that they didn't put an offensive line around him. I blame Joe Douglas for how he is, because he's not a bad quarterback. And the article you sent me about saying that he's the biggest bust, I'm sorry, Ryan Leaf has something to say about that.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get Christian's take on the whole Zach Wilson debacle this year. I'm curious about his idea with his thoughts on this.
I mean, look, he came into an unprecedented situation because they wanted him to soak everything up from Aaron Rodgers. I mean, come on, let's be real here. The Zach Wilson experiment has not worked for the Jets. But then again, they, like Ronnie just said, they haven't put that offensive line around him. This was inevitable. You knew he was going to end up getting benched because he hasn't produced any type of offensive production. He didn't score a touchdown against the Chargers. He didn't score one against the Raiders. And he couldn't get much of anything going against the Buffalo Bills the other day. And you can't sit here and say Buffalo wasn't motivated for that game because, look, Ronnie, we called that game. And what did I say? In the post game of that game, Zach Wilson outplayed Josh Allen.
Oh, in the first game, yeah.
And you know, in Buffalo, they had tape on him, right? Now, I look at the Jets, and this is why I keep saying it makes absolutely no sense for Aaron Rodgers to come back. This team is out of playoff contention. What's the point? You know, Ronnie, I mean, John, to further elaborate on your question, I just think Zach is going to be a backup. You know, I just don't think he's made to be a starter. You know, it hasn't panned out for him.
You know, and it's just, you know what it is, and it's like I joke around, ha-ha, the Jets suck. It's like I was watching the game the other day, and I'm like, I find myself like going, looking at the calendar, going, how many more days till spring training starts? And I was like, thank God for the the winter meetings, because I got nothing sports oriented to look forward to, because my football team sucks. My baseball team hopefully will rebuild. You know, it's like I can't win nowhere when it comes to either one of my teams, but I'm not giving up on them. I'll never give up on them, even as much as they suck. I don't know. It is what it is, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, that's the thing. Like I said, Wilson is not a bad quarterback. The problem is Joe Douglas did nothing. Did nothing to help him.
Let me piggyback off of one thing I just said. The only people on that team that I enjoy watching is the Quinnen Williams and Sauce Gardner. That watching those two destroy quarterbacks is a beautiful thing. But that's the only thing I could cheer about on this fucking team. The only thing.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Jets came in with a lot of hype this year. You know, this one guy I know said that the Jets were his Super Bowl pick. I'm like, look, even people out here wouldn't say that.
I would never predict that, because
right.
I'm not going to get my hopes. That's just the way it's like when we did our baseball picks in the beginning of the year. What did everybody else said? Oh, the Mets. I didn't predict the Mets to do shit, and I was right.
Yeah, and then, you know, looking at the Jets coming into the year, the AFC is still tough because they're not better than Kansas City. They're not better than Baltimore. And I'd even go as far as to say, you know, if he didn't get hurt, they wouldn't even be better than the Cincinnati Bengals right now. So there's just, we can play the hypothetical game and we can say what if all we want. But look, the Jets, this is another tough year. Who knows where they'd be right now if Aaron Rodgers didn't get hurt.
Right. It's
just so many questions.
Yeah, there's the big thing. The what if Rodgers didn't get hurt is the biggest conundrum of them all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like you said, we could play the what if game all day long when it comes to the Jets, you know, where they would have been if Aaron Rodgers had not gotten knocked out after four fucking plays. You know, I mean, it seems to be like the Achilles seems to be the going thing, because didn't Kirk Cousins go down to an Achilles?
This has actually been a pretty tough year for quarterbacks in the season's ending. You know, Aaron Rodgers was the first domino, unfortunately. Then Kirk goes down. Daniel Jones goes down for the Giants. Anthony Richardson, the rookie quarterback for the Colts. Deshaun Watson, he went down. And then Joe Burrow last week. Like, I knew that was bad because that guy couldn't even grip the ball. When he was like, you know how the quarterback sometimes warms up on the sideline, John?
Mm-hmm.
Like, to keep his arm loose? He was trying to throw the ball, and like, as he was motioning to throw the ball just dropped out of his hand. But the Bengals are in some trouble because Ronnie knows what I'm talking about here. He came in with a type of bandage on his wrist.
A wrap, like a soft
wrap. Yeah, and he wasn't on the injury report. And look at what happened now.
Yeah, he has he walked in with a soft cast on, and it wasn't in the injury report, and the coach said he didn't know about it. Bullshit! You know if somebody farts. Like,
not wrong.
Like, bullshit, you didn't know he had a soft cast on. And if you didn't know, you should have went and found out why. Give me that shit that you didn't know. Bull fucking shit. But no.
All right, let's move on.
All right, Christian, last one you're previewing, Buffalo, Philly. Philly's a 3.5-point favorite.
Look, we just saw the Eagles the other night, and this team is battle-tested. You can throw it at them, and they're going to find a way to get through it. Monday night was the best defense I've seen the Eagles play all year long. They pressured Mahomes, didn't necessarily sack him, and that was my key for Philly. Sack him, pressure him, but you don't have to necessarily bring him down. You know, contest his throws. And every time Travis Kelce broke out, you saw two Eagles around him, right? The Eagle, look, they're 9-1. This is the second year in a row that they're 9-1, and it looks like we're finally going to have a repeat champion in the NFC East. We've never had that. Buffalo, that's the best I've seen them look maybe since the game against Miami. Yeah, Josh Allen threw that interception, but for the most part, he was in control. You know, they were able to run the ball. They played good defense. It just looked like, you know, they were playing for one another. And to be honest, I think Sean McDermott is the problem in Buffalo. They're going to win games in spite of him. They're not going to win games because of him.
Right.
This is a tough stretch for Buffalo because you play Philly this week, and then I think, if not next week, the week after, you have to go to Kansas City. And Buffalo's been pretty pedestrian on the road. They can't win away from Ralph Wilson. From Ralph Wilson. I previewed that one on Friday. Be on the lookout.
Give, honestly, right now, I think Buffalo going into Philly is going to be a harder game than people think, so give me the Eagles.
Philadelphia.
Ryan.
Philly.
All right, moving on. New Orleans is a 1-point road dog against Atlanta. No word on if it's going to be Famous Jameis with his good old apple turnovers or with his beignets or Derek Carr as the quarterback yet.
I'm taking New Orleans either way.
Yeah,
New Orleans.
I'm taking New Orleans as well. I trust their offense a little bit more than Atlanta. New Orleans, I know they've had their moments, but I still think they're the best team in this division by default. I know they haven't always shown it at times, but, Atlanta, they're just a little too sporadic for my liking on the offensive side of the football.
My worry is I'm taking New Orleans too, but Atlanta, they took away the play calling, not from the head coach. I forget who was calling the offense. So I'm expecting them to run the ball more why am I spacing on his name? The running back from the running back on Atlanta.
Bijan,
thank you. They're going to be running with Bijan more. New Orleans does not have a stout front line when it comes to the running, when it comes to a run defense.
But they can make stops.
Exactly. That's what I'm worried about. I'm more worried about. That's why this game is a coin flip. But even that being said, I am still taking New Orleans. All right. Pittsburgh versus Cincinnati. God damn it. That's easy. Pittsburgh's a 1.5-point favorite. Give me the points. Give me Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh wins.
Right.
Pittsburgh.
Yeah, the Steelers finally did what I've been calling for them to do all year long. They finally relieved Matt Canada of his duties. Now, I think Kenny Pickett is going to flourish because Kenny wasn't the problem. He was part of the problem, but Matt Canada was really hindering him from his potential.
Yeah, we'll see, because now it's on Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, now it's on Kenny Pickett. But I like the Steelers in this one. Man, the Bengals, tough situation for them to be in. Losing your quarterback, you know, he was already hurt early on in the year with that calf injury. He was getting healthy, and now this. But this is the position Joe Burrow's been in before. Like, he's going to bounce back.
Yep. All right, next Carolina takes on Tennessee. Tennessee is a 3.5-point favorite. I can't. What was that?
Tennessee.
Right.
Who is it? Tennessee and who?
Carolina. I can't find in my heart to put any money on Carolina. Give me Tennessee. Tampa Bay is a 2.5-point road dog against Indianapolis.
No, give me the Bucks.
Bucks.
I'm actually going to take the Colts here. Baker can be very up and down. You know, I like what I've seen from the Colts defense. I trust Gardner Minshew a little bit more than I do Baker Mayfield. Tampa's run defense can be had, so watch for Jonathan Allen to get his carries. I'm going to take Indy here.
Christian, I'm jumping on the back with you. Yeah, give me Indy. I think Indy is a better team than Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay's trying to fight for to stay in the South race, but I think we'll talk about them next. Indy is a better team than Tampa.
Yeah.
Speaking of New England, they are a 3-point road favorite against the Giants.
I'm taking the Giants.
I don't know. Come back to me on that one. I'm still having a hard time on that one.
Christian.
So this is an interesting matchup. Yeah, you know, we can dream about the past all we want, playing in the Super Bowl. They played in some memorable regular season games, too. You know, I remember 2007 when New England went in there and clinched a 6-0 record, right? Then weeks later, the Giants meet them when it matters most and punch them in the mouth. Like, the Giants have always kind of been the England's kryptonite. Bill Belichick thrives against young quarterbacks, right? Tommy DeVito coming in. Did what he had to do against the Washington Commanders, which really isn't saying a lot. Then you look at the Giants' defense, they've really been coming into form as of late. And Kayvon Thibodeau and Dexter Lawrence, they're really establishing themselves as one of the best, premier and best defensive tandems in all of the NFL. I trust the Giants' offense a little bit more than I do New England. But what's Bill Belichick going to do? He's going to take away Saquon Barkley. He's going to dare that young quarterback to beat them. I don't trust New England's offense. Let's just call it what it is. I definitely like the Giants in this one. I just think I just have that faith in their offense a little bit more.
I guess I'll go Giants, I guess.
Christian, I'm sorry. I was doing to the – who are you taking?
I'm taking the Giants.
Yeah, I think New England right now is in a state of flux. You don't know who's the starting quarterback, and why they're 3 points with no starting quarterback is still beyond me. I like the Giants, even with the
Vito. Yeah, and I mean, look, you can. The easy thing to do is to do what when your team is struggling? Point fingers at the quarterback, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah, Mac Jones has struggled, but then again, what have the Patriots done to put Mac Jones in a position to succeed? Name a go-to weapon of his.
There is none.
My point exactly.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. All right. Next game, the Jacksonville Jaguars are a 2-point road favorite against the Houston Texans.
Oh, give me the Texans.
I'm going to go Jags.
This is a big game in the AFC South. Jacksonville, they played angry last week against Tennessee because they were embarrassed at the hands of the 49ers. But I look at the first matchup between these two, and Jacksonville, like many other teams that have played the Texans, they overlooked them. Then Houston is gritty. I'll say that much. You know, they're a tough team. They play hard for D'Amico Ryans. But my thing is, let's cool it with the C.J. Stroud MVP talks, because he threw three interceptions on Sunday. And even in the game,
He's going to win Rookie of the Year.
Oh, without question. I mean, I think it's his to lose.
Yeah.
At this point, it's all but his to lose at this point. But my issue with the whole C.J. Stroud as MVP, this even goes back to the Bengals game. It's 3rd and 2. You're at your own 30, and you throw a key interception. I think this game comes down to, can Jacksonville, can they establish Travis Etienne? Because when he runs over 100 yards, they normally win the football game. This is like my 4th or 5th Jaguars game that I previewed this year. I think Jacksonville wins a gritty game on the road. In Houston, this is one of the bigger games between these two. You never really see marquee matchups that involve the Houston Texans facing the Jacksonville Jaguars, because both teams have kind of been middle of the pack the last couple years. But no, I think Jacksonville avenges that loss. I'm taking Jacksonville.
Wow. Okay, that just broke.
What?
Probably the softest moment in NBA history. Popovich grabbed the microphone and told the fans to stop booing.
Hey, I'm looking at it right now. Hold on.
Okay, we got next.
Hold on. I still haven't picked. I just want to make sure. Christian, I'm sorry. I was listening to that when it was going on. You're taking Houston, right? Or are you taking Jacksonville? Okay.
I'm taking Jags. Yeah.
I'm going against you and John. I'm going with Ryan. I'm taking Houston. I'm taking Stroud. Taking CJ to have a good game.
Yeah, but you know what? Jacksonville is going to be the first team that's seen Stroud twice. And that's true. The difference.
But also, D'Amico Ryans gets to see Jacksonville twice, so he already knows. He's already kind of built the game plan around that he needs to do. We'll see how that goes. But next game, Cleveland takes on Denver.
I'm taking Denver.
I'll go Denver.
Denver, they're playing some good football right now. I don't think anybody expected them to be sitting at 500 right now after giving up 70 points. Remember, they were considered the worst team in the league, remember?
Yep.
And look, John's gonna like this. I could sing the song again. His name is Russell.
Last name
Wilson. He's looking like Seattle Russell. There, he's moving the pocket. He's making it happen with his feet. He's hitting receivers in stride. That touchdown pass that he threw to Courtland Sutton the other day on Sunday night, he put that ball only to where Courtland could get it.
Yep.
Right? I mean, the only spot where Courtland could get it. I like Denver. If this game were in Cleveland, I'd probably lean Cleveland. But I just think that mile-high intensity, that's going to help Denver here.
Yeah. I'm taking Denver, especially with the fact that what does Cleveland not have anymore? A quarterback. What does Denver have? Quarterback.
Bingo.
All right, next, the L. The L.A. Rams take on the Arizona Cardinals. Cardinals are a 1-point favorite.
Taking Arizona.
Arizona.
I'm taking the Rams. I think that defense is going to come through for them, and Arizona's secondary doesn't have an answer for Puka Nacua or Cooper Kupp.
My worry is, and I agree with you, I'm also taking LA, but my worry is can they keep the quarterback in the pocket? They contain him, then the Rams will take care of it. The Rams, and they don't have anything for Donald. Give me the Rams. All right. Oh, boy. Going to be throwing IKEA furniture all around. The Kansas City Chiefs are an 8.5-point favorite against the Vegas Raiders.
Yeah, I'm taking the Chiefs.
Chiefs.
Oh, someone's going to be mad at you.
I want to see. I said this after the game. I want to see how. I want to see how the Chiefs bounce back after losing that game on Monday. You know, and the Chiefs have an issue. Not only do they not have a consistent receiver, it seems like any wide receiver that Mahomes gets the ball to, they drop the ball. Like, that's been the trend with this football team all year. I think the Chiefs bounce back here. The Raiders don't have the defense outside of Max Crosby to get after Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, like, the Raiders' defense has improved, but Mahomes has pretty much owned the Raiders since becoming a starter.
I'm taking the Rams, or yeah, I'm taking the Chiefs. Give me KC. All right. Yep, Raider Dave can suck it on that one. Sunday Night Football. Baltimore takes on the LA Chargers. 3.5-point favorite is Baltimore. Baltimore is going to scorch earth them.
Yeah, I'm taking the Ravens.
Ravens.
I like Baltimore here. Tough loss for them because they're going to be without Mark Andrews, and it's going to take a collective effort of Rashad Bateman, Odell Beckham, Zay Flowers, and Isaiah Likely. He's going to be the tight end replacing Mark Andrews. It's going to take those four to replace him. You know, the Ravens right now are the one seed in the AFC. Like, the road to the playoffs, if they were to start today, would travel through Baltimore. Watch Baltimore really establish the run game in this one because the Chargers have been absolutely horrible when it comes to stopping the run.
In all honesty, I'm taking Baltimore also, but Baltimore might actually get Andrews back by playoff time.
I wouldn't risk it.
No, but that's what they're talking about. They're talking about that, and we got one more game to go, and that is the Monday night game. And that is Chicago taking on Minnesota.
Minnesota? What are the odds?
3.5, Minnesota.
Minnesota.
I like the Vikings. I don't think anything else really needs to be said.
No, it's Minnesota. Unless Fields is starting, they have not really announced it yet, and I don't think he is. I still think Dobbs is a better quarterback right now.
Yeah, I agree with you.
All right. Taking Minnesota also. I want to make sure.
Yeah, Minnesota.
There we go. All right. Well, that is our picks. Everybody, that is our show. Thank you for listening. If you like what you heard, please follow us on all social media accounts under the Nerdport Network. Follow us individually on Twitter at F and Ronnie.
At the Zombie Master.
At DailyBlitz_61.
That's DuckDuckSTL.
And follow us on Twitch, Spotify, all that other fun stuff every Monday and Wednesday. Soon, I'm probably going to have some shows coming up because I am off now for 6 weeks. So there will be a change in the scheduling a little bit. But with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, please enjoy your Thanksgiving. Please enjoy football, college football, and all other sports. But if you like what you heard, please tell your friends. If you didn't like what you hear, please tell your enemies. But until then, always tell your enemies two things. One, everybody's got a price, because God forbid Bobby Bonilla is still getting paid. And if you don't believe me, well then hell, that's just a fact of life. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good night.
Fuck yourselves.
Have a great Thanksgiving.